Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 5 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel. Before we begin the actual Shiur, let us glance at the outside margin where you will see the Nosei heading appearing. That is a topic heading, followed by Mivneh, a structural note. In the Gemara markings, Shas Ozer, the Gemara that appears on your screen, we offer topic headings and structural notes from time to time as needed. In this case, under our topic heading, we have written the following: Dinoi shel Rav Noi Amar Shmuel. In our Gemara, Rav Noi will be quoting Shmuel regarding 2 points. One, Tziruf Zman Achila Bechalovim Unevela Kadesh Lishayev Bachilosam. Tziruf means the joining together of times. We will be speaking about someone eating a minimum amount that will result in a violation of eating chalovim, which are translated sometimes as forbidden fats, forbidden parts of a kosher type animal, and nevela is an animal that died without receiving a proper shechita. Let us say a person ate an olive quantity of chalovim or of nevela, but the olive quantity he ate in 2 half olives, olive sizes, olive quantities. How much time can elapse between the 2 half olive quantities and the individual still be considered a violator? In other words, if a person were to eat half an olive of a quantity of chalev in the morning and then an hour later another half olive quantity, he would not be chayav. That is not considered an act of achila, of eating. It might be called nibbling, but it's not called eating. Eating is based on a time frame. So we will be looking into that issue. What is the time frame in which one will be considered violating the sin of eating chalavim or nevela? A second issue that will be dealt with is oichlin umashkin temeim l'tamei esaguf. The one who eats food or beverage, that or drank beverage that became ritually impure. On a Torah level, food and drink does not metame a person, doesn't rend him ritually impure. However, on a rabbinic level, these things, food and drink that are themselves tame, are capable of making the person that consumed them also tame. So we will also be dealing with a time frame with regard to those matters as well. So let us first see the Gemara. Omar Rav Noi, Omar Shmuel. Point 1. Bechalovim ubenevela. One who eats 2 half olive quantities of either chalev or nevela. At sheyishe mitchila v'ad sof bechtei achilas pras. There will be guilt only if he tarries in this eating from beginning to end, the time frame known as kedei achilas pras. Kedei achilas pras literally is the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf. The half a loaf is an amount known, or quantity-wise, is called 4 eggs in quantity, arba beitzim. So if a person tarries in eating the kezias of chalovim or nevela in a time greater than the amount of time it would take to eat the kedei pras, chatzi pras, then he would not be guilty. That's called the amount of time to eat, bechtei achilas pras. Now, halacha number 2, oichlin temeim, shkotzim uremosim, umashkin, afilu kol ayom kuloi, Bechtei Achilas Pras. This statement is a little unclear. The Gemara immediately asks, "My Ko'omar, what is being taught over here?" So, first of all, let's just note that the quantity of these things to metama a person is a chatzi pras. We should note that the Girsa of the Shita Mekubetzes deletes the words shkotzim uremosim, but reads rather halacha number 2 as oichlin temein umashkin temeim afilu kol hayom kulo. And that stands to reason because, as we said before, we're dealing with things that are metama a person on a rabbinic level, which is not true when it comes to shkotz or mosim. There are those that are metama person on a Torah level as well, but we're focusing on oichlin and mashkim temeim. So the shi'ur, the quantity for oichlin to metama a person, is a different shi'ur than we mentioned before. The shi'ur for that is called a chatzi pras, half a pras. The quantity of mashkin to metama a person is a revius. So the Gemara asks, "My ko'omar, what was meant by halacha number 2 of Rav Noi? Omar Rav Papa Hochi Ko'omar." Thusly, we are to understand his comment. Afilu kol hayom kulo v'hu she'ochal kezayis shebo b'chdei achilas pras. The mount to metama the person is a chatzi pras. Now, a chatzi pras is larger than a kezayis. There are a couple of kezesim in a chatzi pras. So he is telling us that the tumas haguf will be achieved or absorbed if he eats the olive quantities that are contained in this shiur of chatzi pras. If he eats each olive quantity within the amount of time that we mentioned before of bechtei achilas pras, even though he's going to eat the entire chatzi pras amount over the course of a whole day, that won't stop him from becoming tomei if the subunits, if you will, sub-quantities of each olive quantity he eats within a kedei achilas pras. So, for illustration purposes, based on the idea that there are a couple of kezesim in a chatzi pras, he eats a quick kezias quantity in the morning, another quick kezias quantity of oichlin temeim at noontime, and another one later on, and until it adds up to a chatzi pras. So that even though he's eating the entire chatzi pras over the course of a whole day, the individual subunits of a kezias, each kezias must be eaten quickly. The Gemara now introduces through our markings a series of questions. You can see we have a house form with a colored in tip that introduces these questions. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, you can see shape is featured, and we've written Kushos al Din Hasheni Hanal. These are questions on the second halacha of Rav Noi. In other words, halachas concerning the timing of the eating of the Oichlim Temeim. So we turn back to the Gemara, Meisvei. A question is raised from the following Tanaic source: Kol ha'oichlin mitstarfin l'fsoil ha'gevia b'kachatzi pras. All foods can join up to create psul gevia. Psul gevia means the gevia is a body, a person. L'fsoil gevia is to metame the person, and that is if he eats the amount known as chatzi pras. So my love, how are we to understand this? The achlei lechatzi pras b'chtei achilas pras. that the entire quantity, not individual olive quantities, but the entire quantity of the Chatzi Pras must be eaten in the relatively quick time frame that we called Bechtei Achilas Pras. And otherwise, he won't become Tomei. So that this would be a leniency, and hence also a challenge to the approach that Rav Noi took. Loi. Not so. Rather, the ochal kezayas kezayas bichtei achilas pras, the individual subunit of the olive quantity, each olive quantity that eventually adds up to a chatzi pras, but the individual olive quantities he ate within the time frame of kedei achilas pras, but as far as the entire amount, that it might take him all day till it adds up to that amount. Meisvei. We raise a question from a Tanaic source. Now, this Tanaic source is a rather long quote, so you can see a large frame. We also have a long marking, the two that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which represents the second question. We also have a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. What the Gemara does is, after it quotes this entire source, which has a lot of information in it, it does a quote from the source. You'll notice right after the long frame, it says, Kotoni Mihas. This is an excerpt from the source. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to show you where the excerpt comes from. What we did in our markings, you might term it an overkill. In other words, we dashed, underlined the main point in the original source, and then the excerpt appears right after this the quote of the source. Let us skip for a moment to the excerpt, and it says there, Im yesh mitchilas achilo rishono, v'ad sof achilo achroino, from beginning to end of his eating of the oichlam tameim, b'chtei achilas pras mitztarev. Only then will it add up. In other words, the eating of the oichlam tameim must take place relatively quickly, not over a whole day period of time. And to that, the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Rav Noi Omar Shmuel, Tiyufta, this will be a repudiation. So that at the end of this long question, we end up leaving it as a challenge to Rav Noi's approach. As we mentioned before, you can see also visually that the source that is going to serve as the basis of his question is a long source. There's a lot of other information contained in the source. This will be discussed later in the Gemara. With the markings, you can see we have a bow tie shape that appears later on a few times. These are excerpts from the source that will be discussed whereby the Gemara will focus on those points later. So as we go through the source, it's not so important to focus on the details, but rather to aim toward the question. So once again, Rav Noi or Shmuel had said that for a person to become Tomei through eating Oichlam Tameim, he'll become Tomei even if he completes the full quantity of the Chatzi Pras over a whole day of eating, provided the subunits he ate quickly. But with big gaps in time between them, he would still become Tomei. To this we raise the following challenge, Meisvei. Kol ha'Oichlam mitstarfen livsol esagvio b'chatzi pras. Bechtei achilas pras. All types of food that is tomei can join up to add up to the quantity of a half pras, a chatzi pras, to mitama person. And bechtei achilas pras, that's a reference to the time frame. Ketzad. How is this to be illustrated? Ochal, v'chozar v'ochal, if he ate a little bit and then continued eating. Im yesh mitchilas achilo rishona v'ad soif achilo achrona kedei achilas pras mitstarfin. If from the beginning of his eating, of these foods that are tomei, till the end of his eating, till he completes the shi'ur, the quantity of a chatzi pras, the amount of time that lapses is a kedei achilas pras, then the eatings will join up. Yoyser mikan, but if it takes longer than that, from beginning to end, it takes longer than a kedei achilas pras, ein mitstarfin. The oichlin tamayim that he ate won't join up. Now another point, but as we already told you before, it's really from this section that we see the challenge to Rav Noi, because this section, and it will be excerpted later on, shows you that the amount of time allotted for the eating to join up for the entire Chatzi Pras quantity is Bechtei Achilas Pras, and not over the course of a whole day. The source goes on, Lo Hitiru La'Ochel Pochos Mikashir Leirei V'Litbol. They didn't allow someone who ate a sub-quantity, a fraction of the Oichlim Tmeim quantity, to immerse himself when he ate only part of that quantity. Yorad v'tova v'yola v'hishmimo mitzdarif. If he, in fact, was toivel, he went into the mikveh after eating a half amount of Oichlim Tmeim, and then came out of the mikveh and continued eating more Oichlim Tmeim, it will mitzdarif, it will join up with that which he ate before going into the mikveh. Hitiru lo le'ubro le'echol pochus mikashur mipnei hasakona. This phrase is very difficult, as it is. The Gemara will re-explain it later. But it says they allowed the pregnant woman to eat less than the quantity, less than the forbidden quantity, if she is in danger. Kol hamashkin mitstarfin lifsolas agvia b'ravias b'chtei achilas pras. All beverages that are tomei will join up to metama a person. Remember, we have this phrase lifsol es hagvio, that means to metama the individual. If he consumes a revius amount, that's a quantity, a revius quantity, within the time frame known as kedei achilas pras. Ketzad. What about an illustration of this? So shosa v'chozar v'shosa. If he drank and then drank some more, im yesh mitchilas shtiyo rishona viad sof shtiyo achrona kedei achilas pras mitzdarfin. If from the beginning of his drinking till the end of his drinking of that revius, no more time lapsed than kedei achilas pras, then it will mitzdarf. The drinkings will mitzdarf to metama the person. Yoiser mikan. If a greater amount of time lapses, Ein mitzdarfin, they won't join up. Hitiru lo lemaga tome meis lahanik bina ubina tohor. There is an allowance made for a woman who is nursing her child. She is a maga tome meis. That means she touched someone who was tome meis. A person who's tome meis is an avhatuma, and the person they touch becomes a Rishon Letuma. So she is a Rishon Letuma, and they have an allowance here for her to nurse her child, and the child remains Tohar. Kotoni Mihas. This represents, as we mentioned earlier, an excerpt from the source. We also have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, enabling you to find where this excerpt is coming from in the original source. It says here, Im yesh mitchilas achila rishona v'at sof achila achrona, b'chtei achilas pras mitzdarif. If from the beginning to the end of the eating of the quantity of a chatzi pras, there lapses no more time than this kedei achilas pras quantity, amount of time, the amount of time to eat four eggs in quantity, then the achila, the eating, is mitzdarf. It combines into a type of eating that will metama the person. However, more than that amount of time, if more than that amount of time lapses for the entire quantity's consumption, he will not become tomei. Tiufta de Rav Noi Omar Shmuel Tiufta. This is a repudiation of what Rav Noi Omar Shmuel said. He had said, as Rav Papa had explained, that the eating may take place over the entire day and he will become tomei. Here we see quite to the contrary, that only if the eating is completed within a short amount of time will he become tomei. More than that, no. So this is, as we said, a repudiation of Rav Noi's original comment. Omar Mar. And we mentioned earlier, but we'll mention it again, if you glance at the Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you see the bowtie shape featured. These are tzitutim, quotes, mi braiso haruka, from the long braiso that we had. It's said there, lo hitiru lo la'oichel pochos mikashir leireid velipol. We don't allow someone who ate a partial amount of oichlin tameim, of ritually impure food items, to immerse himself in the mikveh. My ko'omar. Well, what is being said over here? Omar of Yuda, hochi ko'omar. Thusly are we to understand the source. In Gemara markings, we treat restatements of Tanaic sources as if they were Tanaic sources with a frame. So it says, ochal pochos mikashiur, if a person ate less than the full quantity, in other words, he ate less than a chatzi pras of oichlin tameim, lo hitiru lo leirei velit boil. We don't allow him to go into the mikveh in an attempt to achieve purification. Shiim yereid, shiim yorad v'tovav v'ola, if a person, let us say, did, after eating only part of the quantity capable of being mitama, the person, if after only part of that quantity, he then immersed himself in the mikveh and emerged, the hishlimo, and then completed the quantity of food that's tomei, mitstarif, that which he ate before his immersion and that which he eats now will join up. The osi lemeimar, but a person may come to think or may come to say, ahani li tvilo komaisa, that my first immersion was successful in annulling, if you will, the food that was tomei that he ate. The ain yodea, but the person doesn't know, she'ain tvilo elo bachrona, that the tvilo that would be effective is only the tvilo that he does at the end. So you could have a situation of a person who ate part of the quantity, immersed himself, thinking that that was the equivalent of a reset, if you will, of eradicating, of eliminating the tuma, the tomei food that he ate. And then when he completes the quantity after emerging from the mikveh, thinking that it's like a new eating, and it won't join up with that which was before, that in fact is a mistake. The eating that he does after the mikveh to complete the quantity of that which he ate before will join up with his eating that he did before his entrance to the mikveh, because the mikveh is ineffective for a partial quantity, and he will then become tomei unknowingly, and that will be that itself is a problem. He'll then become Tomei Tumas Aguf Midrabanan, thinking that he is not. So that's why we tell him, if you ate a partial quantity of Oichlin Tameim, don't immerse yourself, don't go into the mikveh, it simply won't be effective. The only time mikveh will be effective is only after he became Tomei already, and that's what's meant, She'ein Tvila Elo Bachrona, the Tvila helps only after the fact. Kotoni, it's stated in the source, lo hitiru lo l'ubro l'chol pochos mikashiur mipnei. Let's reread that. Hitiru lo l'ubro l'chol pochos mikashiur mipnei asakona. They allowed the pregnant woman to eat less than a quantity because of sakona, because of she is life threatened. So the Gemara asks, "Mipnei asakon, if a person is life threatened, afilu tuva nami techol, then let her eat even as much as she needs to eat." Omar Rav Papa, hochi kotoni. Thusly, it is to be understood. Hitiru lo l'ubra, we allow a pregnant woman pochos mikashir afilu tuva. If she eats less than the quantity of that which is, we'll call it problematic food, will allow her to eat a less than forbidden quantity, and she can eat that afilu tuva many times. She can eat this problematic food, which is less than the quantity at each eating. But neha sakona, why are we allowing her to eat again and again and again this partial quantity of food? Because she is in danger. And so this will help save her. Now we see another quote from the long source. Kotani hitiru lo lemaga tomemes lahonik es bina ubina tohor. We allow a woman who had contact with someone who was tomemes, known as an avatuma, it's a certain high level of tuma. The woman who touched the tomemes, she becomes a rishon the tuma, and we allow her to nurse her son, and her son will be tohor. So the Gemara now asks a question. Before we go on, let's glance at the side of our Gemara. We have a nosei, a topic heading, Tino Kayonek Mi'imo Shinoga Betome Meis, an infant that nurses from his mother that had contact with a Tome Meis, Tohor. The child is Tohor. Under our Mivne heading, we have a triangle featured, and in parentheses we've written Ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. The triangle with the point facing up represents kushios. These are questions. Amai hatinok tohor. Why should the child be considered pure? Kevon shionak cholav. Once he nurses from his mother, that's tomei, and he's nursing her milk, itmi le mehachalav. The child would become tomei by having consumed milk, that's tomei. And we're in the middle of a sukya that has already mentioned that a person becomes tomei upon consuming beverages that are tomei. So why does this source declare that the child will be tohor? The triangle inverts, and at that point it represents tshuvos, responses. Lahasbir loma hu tohor. Why is the child tohor? Let us now continue in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, in the first wide line, the triangle that appears in the middle, with the tip facing up, Amai Tohor. Why is the child Tohor? Kivan Diyonak Chalava, since he nursed her milk, Itmi Le Mechalav. The child should become Tomei through the drinking of that milk, through the nursing of that milk. We know that a person who consumes a quantity of Oichlin Tomeim or Mashkim Tomeim, they become Tomei. V'chitema lo iskasher, you'll say that the milk has not become mukshar lekabel tuma. Maybe a word about that concept beforehand. When we speak about food or food that becomes tomei, food is not capable of becoming tomei unless it was prepared for the absorption of the tuma. That's the concept of mukshar lekabel tuma. And that generally is accomplished when a certain type of liquid, and there are different kinds of liquids that are capable of being mukshar lekabel tuma. One of them, in fact, is milk. So that the milk that the child is nursing, we are asking here, or we're raising as a possibility, maybe you'll say that the child is Torah because the milk that the child is nursing, which is considered food, it has not received hechsher lekabel tuma. In other words, in order for the woman who's a rishon letuma to communicate tuma to the milk that the child is nursing, the milk would have had to receive hechsher, meaning it would have had to been exposed to some type of beverage, either water, in this case we'll talk more about milk, and the milk that the child is nursing would have had to come into contact with other milk before the child nurses, and that would have been machshir the milk to itself mekabel tuma. So you might ask that maybe the milk that the child is nursing wasn't mukshar, and that's why we're considering the child tohor, but that's not true. Ha is kashir. Betipa meluchleches al pi hadod. The milk that the child nurses comes from the mother's breast, and on the breast there is milk that's there. The what's called the dirty drop of milk that's on her body, and the milk then that the child nurses comes through that point, so that the milk the child is nursing is coming through a state of having been mukshar lekabel tuma. Omar Rav Nachmon Omar Rabo Baravua. You notice the triangle inversed. This is a response. as far as the milk is concerned, it's not mukhshar lekabel tuma. Sheyonak betkifo achas. The child nursed in one force, in one shot. Lohiniach tipa meluchleches al pi hadod. And as a result, there is no drop that was there beforehand on the mother. Omar Rava. Rava reinstates the question. You can see the triangle is reversed with the tip now pointing up again. And we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. Omar Rava, shtei tshuvas badover. I have two objections to what was just said. Chada, one point, is de kochazina lepume dianuka de mole cholav. First of all, the child, when you look at its lips, you see that it's full of milk. Where did the child get the milk on its lips if, as you claimed, that it nursed in one shot, in one force, in other words, one spurt, if you will, into its mouth? It doesn't seem that way. The milk around the child's lips is evidence that there was milk on the surface of the mother's body, and that is the milk that would have been machshir, the subsequent milk that comes forth from her, to mekabel tuma, and hence the child really is drinking tomei milk. The oid, and a further objection, is mokom cholov ma'ayon hu. The word ma'ayon, it literally is a wellspring. When speaking about the topic of people that are tomei, a human being produces different liquids. Different the sources of those different liquids in a person, some are considered a ma'ayon and some are not. When something is considered a ma'ayon, that liquid that comes forth has inherent tumah when you're dealing, of course, with a person that's tomei, and as such, it doesn't need hechsher. So that the claim here is that the issue of the milk being tor because it didn't receive hechsher, that's a non-starter. The milk is coming from a ma'ayon, a source in the person, a source that happens to be classified as a ma'ayon. There are other types of liquids that issue forth from a person that are not from a ma'ayon classification, but the claim right now is that the milk is coming from a ma'ayon, and hence it doesn't need hechsher. It's inherently tomei. Dekotoni, we have a Tanaic source that says cholav isha mitame, the milk of a woman, if it's coming from a woman that's tomei, is mitame bein l'rotzoin ubein shelo l'rotzoin. It's capable of communicating tuma whether there is desire or even if there is no desire. The fact that it's mitama, even if there is no desire, that shows us that it has inherent tuma. Cholov behema, milk from a cow, eno mitama elo lerotzoin. It is capable of mitama only if a person is interested in its presence. It's really not the focus of our discussion, but a cow itself cannot become tomei when it's alive. A live cow is not metame. Therefore, the milk from a cow's milk, would not be a ma'ayon. So that in order for a behemo milk to be metame, it would have to be present there because of a desire for it to be there. These concepts of desire or lack of desire are based on psukim, which we won't get involved with right now. Rashi makes reference to the pasuk of Ki Yutan, which is getting a little bit far flung for us right now. But let us continue in the Gemara. The source mentioned that the Chol of Isha is Metame, Bein L'Rotzon, Bein Shelo L'Rotzon, my love. What, in fact, does this mean? Shelo l'rotzon equals delo nichole. The presence of the milk may be something that's there without desire. I don't want it. And yet, the katoni metame. And still, it's capable of transmitting tumah. Well, that shows us that even though it's there without desire and it has tumah, that shows us it's a ma'ayon. And therefore, even without the milk becoming mukhshar lekabel tumah, it should metame the child. And hence we've reinstated the question as to why does the original source say that the child who nurses from his mother that's tame, why is the child tahor? The triangle inverts at this point with an attempt to resolve the issue. And on the as the Gemara goes on, Elo Omar Rova, Hainu Taimo Divino Tahor. The following is the reason why the child is tahor. The Sufek Yonak Kishiur Vesufek Lo Yonak. There is we are in doubt whether the child consumed the quantity necessary to mitame a person. Ve'im Tim Salomar Yonak, and if you say he did, Sufek Yanku Bachilas Pras, Sufek Yanku Yoser Michte Achilas Pras. Even if he did consume the quantity necessary for being metame, and we know that the quantity of food, in this case the milk, is being, we're treating the milk here as a food item, the necessary amount would be a Chatzi Pras, but the time frame is not clear. Did the child complete the consumption of the quantity within the time frame of Kedei Achilas Pras? Therefore, the child is Tohor. We have we call a double Suffolk on our hands. Suffolk whether he consumed the Shiur, and even if he consumed the Shiur, even if he consumed the quantity, did he do it within the necessary time frame? Rava had mentioned above that the Mokom Cholov was a Ma'ayon. We have a little arrow, it's a squiggle arrow, to distinguish it from regular arrows before. You'll notice the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Above, Rava had said, if you can align this just a few lines up with the previous arrow, on that line, Rava said, Mokom Cholov Ma'ayon. Here we are asking, Ula Rava. And this, by the way, is a long question. You'll notice we have a long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. And this will go down a number of lines down the top of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So the question right now is it so, according to Rava, that the Mokom Cholov, the source of the milk in the mother's body, is called a Ma'ayon? And as a result, it wouldn't need Hechsher. So let's read this in the Gemara. Ula Rava, and by the way, we should note that on the side, we have a Tat Nosei, we call this a subtopic heading. Birur im Mokom Cholov Nechshav Ma'ayon. We're going to investigate now. Does the source of a mother's milk, is it to be considered or classified as a Ma'ayon? Nafgamina iboy hechsher oiloy. The nafgamina, the point of the practical issue that arises here is, does it need hechsher? So the Gemara asks, we'll start again in the middle of the line, Ula Rava Mokom Cholov Ma Yonhu Velo Yitzore Hechsher. Is that really so? V'hotnan. We have the following Tanaic source. Ha'isha Shenotav Cholov Midodeha. A woman from whom there dripped forth some milk from her body, the nofal la'avir tanur, tanur tomei, and it fell into the airspace of an earthenware oven, the tanur is considered tomei. The kashyolon, and we raise the question, b'mai is kasher, for the cholov to have communicated tuma by being in the airspace of this earthenware oven, the cholov itself would have had to been tome. So the question is, how? What was machshir it? The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, betipa meluchleches al pi hadod. It came from the hechsher came from that original. Milk that had accumulated around the exterior of her breast. And, of course, it goes without saying that we're talking about a woman who herself was Tomei. So the woman who is Temeah, and milk drips forth from her into the airspace of an earthenware tanur, and the rules of Tumah tell us that tanurs, ovens that are made of cheres, clay tanurs, absorb Tumah when something that's Tumah enters its airspace. Now, we're dealing with this drop of milk that dropped into the tanur. We say it, the tanur, becomes Tumah. How? Because of the milk. But the Gemara here raises, how did the milk itself become Tumah? By the mere fact that it came from a Tumah woman does not seem to be enough. It had to have received Hechsher. And Rabbi Yochanan says, the Hechsher for it was the Tipo HaMeluchleches Al Pi Hadad. You might say that Rava disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says it requires Hechsher, but Rava might maintain that it doesn't. The Ha Tanya, but we will now present a Tanaic source which shows unequivocally that the source of a mother's milk is not a Ma'ayon. In this upcoming source, 9 different kinds of human liquid will be featured. What we have to show and focus on is really on the very top of Omid Beis, and we've dashed underlined the expression there, Cholavisha, in which we see that Cholavisha is not coming from a Ma'ayon. The source says, "V'hotanya nimseis ato oimer tisha mashkin bezoiv." There are 9 types of liquid that we will describe that can be emitted from a zov. A zov is an example of someone that is tomei as a result of an emission, a type of emission known as zov. What are the 9 different possible liquids? And of course, we will be dealing with their classification as tomei. Hazea ulechosrucha v'rei tahirin mikulam. Sweat, lechosrucha, Rashi gives a French term for that, and rei would be waste that comes from a person, liquidy waste that comes from a person, which comes from the anal canal. Those are tahor mikulam. In other words, there's no tuma associated, even though it's coming from a person that is tumei. These liquids are, we'll call them disgusting, and whatever the case is, they are not tumei. Dimas eno, the tear, the dam magafoso, blood that comes forth from an injury. And now at the top of Omid Beis, the cholov isha, and we've dashed underline that because this is the focus of our attention. Mitamin tumas mashkin berevius. They will communicate tuma if you have a revius quantity of it, and it's known as tumas mashkin. That means it's considered in the realm of a beverage, and if you have a revius of it, so it will be capable of being metame. Roikoi zoivoi umeme raglov. Roke is saliva. Zovo is the emission itself that makes the person into a zav. Umeme raglov, urine, metamen tuma chamura bekoshu. That will communicate tuma to even a person or vessels. Kolshu means with even a minor quantity, a negligible amount. That shows that these last 3 are very serious. They are ma'ayonos. V'i'amris mokum cholav ma'ayon hu, cholav nami nitma tuma chamura b'kolshu kizov v'roko. If cholav isha was a mayon, then it would have been classified with these last 3 and communicate tuma even if you have a negligible amount like the zov and the roik. Elo shma mino mokoim cholav isha lav mayon hu. So we see from this Tanaic source that the cholav isha, the woman's milk, is not considered a mayon. Well, ihochi kashya ha masnisa. If so, then the source that we saw earlier that said mitame bein l'rotzoin ubein shelo l'rotzon, that will now be a difficulty. We used this source, which, by the way, you can find where it's quoted by using the star that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an indication that it's from Omid Aleph. You'll find a parallel star on Omid Aleph showing where this was cited. This source indicated that the Chol of Isha will be metame even shaloi l'ratzon, which gave us a basis for thinking that it's a ma'ayon. So the Gemara answers, mi savris shaloi l'ratzon equals the Omar delo nichale. Who says that shalo l'ratzon really is in the negative, namely that someone said, I don't want it, and still it would be metame? If that really were the case, that would indicate that it's a ma'ayon. But rather, loy, that's not the explanation. My shaloi l'ratzon, what does shaloi l'ratzon really mean? Bestamo, in other words, a neutral situation. And you could read the word shaloi l'ratzon meaning shaloi, it's lacking a positive statement. And yet, the Chol of Isha will metama even without an expressed positive desire. Why? The daite detina kreva legabi cholav. A child is assumed to like the milk, to want the milk. Even if you don't see a positive expression or statement saying, I want it. Avol omar lo ni chole. If there was an expressed negative intent, or lack of an expressed lack of desire, I don't want it, then tohor, then the chol of isha, even though it comes from a woman that's tameh, that would not be metameh. So when you look back at this sugya, we mentioned a woman who was tameh magomes. The child that nurses from her will be tohor. We asked, why would the child be tohor when there was an assumption that the milk is itself tameh? So at the end of the day, we've demonstrated that the milk is really not tameh. It's not from a ma'ayon. Rava explained, you will notice with our markings, if you look back to Amud Aleph, we had our final inverted triangle, which represented an answer. At that point, Rava said the reason the child is tahor is because of a double suffix. The suffix being, did he nurse the amount to be metama? And even if he did he do that within the time frame necessary for a person to become tamei from having eaten tamei foods? So because of this extensive amount of doubt, the double doubt, the child is tohor. The Gemara, up from that point onwards, discuss the issue, is the source of a cholav in a woman considered a ma'ayon? And we have shown how really it is not a ma'ayon. And we also explained what the source that said shalo l'ratzon meant, and with that we resolved all the difficulties. The Gemara continues, Ochal oichlin temein v'chulei, and then v'nichnas lemikdash v'shoho kedei achilas pras. We saw reference made to someone that ate tomei food and then went into the Beis Hamikdash and tarried there kedei achilas pras. The Gemara asks, Loma li shehiya dekotoni v'shoho. The question here is, it was mashma from the Mishnah that he entered the Beis HaMikdash and delayed in the Beis HaMikdash. If you're dealing with someone that is tomei, by virtue of, we'll say, he ate tomei food, then upon entering the Mikdash, Tosfos adds a detail that has broad ramifications for many other sugis, but Tosfos says he went into the mikdash and he did some type of avoda. He went in and flipped over some meat on the altar. That's an example that you see in other gemaras, but that in helping the meat to burn, be consumed by the fires of the mizbeach. So if that's what happened, why is there any reference to a delay in the mikdash as it sounds from the Mishnah? Omar Rav Yehuda, Hochi Kotoni. Rav Yehuda explains that the Mishnah means is really to be understood as follows. Ochal Ochlin Temeim Vishosa Mashkim Temeim Vishosa Ravias Yayin Vishoha Vachilosan Ubishtiosan Kede Achilos Pras. The time frame that is mentioned of delay, the tarry that the Mishnah mentioned, was a reference to the amount of time that it took him to consume the food, to consume the beverage, and not a reference to the tarrying in the Beis HaMikdash. So that if you have a person that ate Eichlin or Mashkin Temeim, or he drank a revius of wine, and tarried in the consumption of these things, the amount of time required to eat an achilas pras, and then went into the mikdash, he would be chayav. But our main point of emphasis right now is that the tarrying, the shoha that the Mishnah mentioned, was not a reference to his delaying in the Beis HaMikdash, but it was a reference to his consumption, the amount of time it took him to consume these problematic items, the tamei food or the drinking of the wine. Rabbi Elazar Omer, v'chulei. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei, which reads, Deois Tanoim B'inyan Iser Shichrus B'Mikdash. We are now going into a new topic, and that is different Tanaic opinions regarding the prohibition of being intoxicated and entering the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanaic source says, Tonu Rabbonon, Yayin V'Shechor Al Teisht, that is the Pasuk, Yochel Afilu Kolshu Afilu Migito. The warning in this pasuk, does it mean even a negligible amount, even if it's wine from the press? In other words, it's fresh wine, it's grape juice. Talmud Lomar V'Shechor. The pasuk in conjunction with wine, it also mentions Shechor. Ein Osir Elo Kedei L'Shaker. That which is forbidden is only that which is capable of making, creating a state of intoxication, of drunkenness. V'kamo kedei l'shaker, what is the amount that is associated with this concept of inebriation? Revius yayin ben arboyim yoyim. You have a quantity and a time factor regarding the fermentation. The quantity would be a revius, that's a liquid quantity. He would have to drink a revius, but not of grape juice, of wine that fermented over a period of 40 days. Im kein ma tamud lomar yayin. So then, what do I gain by the posuk using the term yayin, when the word yayin would include even something something else, and or something less, something like grape juice. Lomar loch yayin muzhorin olav bekol shehu umuzhorin olav migito. The use of the word yayin is here to tell me that there is a prohibition of drinking wine, even a negligible amount, and even if it's from the press. However, there is no death penalty, death at the hands of heaven, until one drinks a revius quantity that's 40 days of fermenting. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yayin. Rabbi Yehuda looks at this pasuk and focuses on the word Yayin. This is Ein Li Elo Yayin. Shar Mishakrin Minai. Now we've dashed underlined this. This is a new feature of that's introduced by Rabbi Yehuda. Other beverages that create intoxication, from where do I know that they are also included in this Torah prohibition? Talmud Lomar V'Shechor. shechar, indicating something other than wine. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shechar is not a description of the wine, but it's a reference to a different type of beverage. Im kein matam lomar yayin, if other intoxicating beverages are included, so why does the Torah specify wine? Answer, al hayayin b'misa, v'al shar mishakrin b'azhara. There is still a major difference. For the drinking of wine, that one would be guilty of death at the hands of heaven. With regard to the imbibing of other intoxicating beverages, there one is bazhara, means he would be in violation of a negative command, but not worthy of a death at the hands of heaven. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yayin al Tesht, V'shechar al Tesht. What does he learn from this? Kederech Shichuso. Rabbi Elazar focuses on wine. In other words, it's wine that is under the prohibition of the Torah, not other beverages. What does Shechar teach me? Kederech Shichuso, that in order for one to be chayav for having drunk wine, he would have to have drunk it in the way that one could become intoxicated. Ha im hifsik boy. If, however, one did not drink the required quantity in one straight drink, in one gulp, then that's called hifsik. He paused in the drinking. Oy nosan l'soichoy mayim kolshu, or he diluted it even with a negligible amount of water, potter, he will be exempt. B'mai pligi, what is the point of controversy between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara will be asking this b'mai pligi here, and pinning off the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, and later the Gemara will be focusing on Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara is asking, what is their point of difference? Tanakama sovar gamrinon shechar shechar minozir. Tanakama has a tradition on a word comparison using the word shechar from the topic of nozir. And in the case of a nozir is prohibited only with regard to wine. Rabbi Yehuda lo yolif shechar shechar minozir. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have this word comparison tradition connecting Beis Hamikdash entrance to the topic of nozir, and therefore, in the case of nozir, the nozir's restriction is to wine drinking, but with regard to entering the Beis Hamikdash, other intoxicating beverages are included in the prohibition. Rabbi Elazar savar. My shechar, Rabbi Elazar understands, what does shechar mean? Midi dehu mishachir. He looks at shechar as being a description of something that is mishachir. In other words, the wine, and drunk only in a way that it would be capable of causing intoxication. Keman azlo ha desanya. We have an unnamed Tanaic source, and more wants to know, like whom does this go? Ochal dvelo kirilis v'shosa dvash oy cholov v'nichnas lemikdash. If a person ate a dvelo, is a cake of pressed figs. Kirilis is the name of a place, so it's figs from that place. Drank some honey or milk, and then entered the Beis Hamikdash, v'shimesh, and served after having consumed this, loike, he would be guilty of lashes. There's another girsa that suggests chayav, that he would be considered guilty. No reference here to wine, and yet there is a violation of entering the Mikdash. We didn't point out, but eating this and drinking these things will result in some form of intoxication. So, who would say that this non-wine-based intoxication is guilty with regard to entrance to the Mikdash? Answer, Kirebi Yehuda. This is in conformity to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who includes things other than wine. Omar Yehuda bar Achosoi, halacha kerebi Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda rules like the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that it's only wine that one would be chayav for, and it's only if he drank it without pausing and did not add any water to it. V'kori Rav olei de Rabbi Elazar tuvino de Hakimi. Rav, in viewing or looking at this Tana, Rabbi Elazar, he says he is the choice of sages. Very high compliment paid to this particular Tana. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. The topic heading here is Isur Hoyro'o B'Shichrus, the prohibition of rendering legal rulings while in a state of inebriation. Rav Acho de Hutzal, Rav Acho from the place known as Hutzal, have Nidro Alo de Visu. He had sworn or vowed not to benefit from her. Also, the Kamei de Rav Ashi. Rav Acho approached Rav Ashi in the hope of having his vow annulled. Now he approached Rav Ashi after Rav Ashi had already had his meal and drank his beverages. Omar Lei, Rav Ashi says to Rav Acho, Zil ho idno v'to l'mochor. Go away now and come back tomorrow. I am not capable of dealing with your halachic issue of annulling your vow. The Rav loimuki amura olei miyomatova lechavre mishom shichrus. Rav, the famous Amora, would not set up or let's say give his lecture from Yontif until the next day, meaning after he had his meal, he wouldn't deliver his public lecture because of the problem of shichrus, of having drunk something intoxicating. So I, says Rav Ashi, I'm following Rav's approach that after having eaten and drinking and eaten and drank intoxicating beverages, I'm not capable, I'm not in the state of mind of dealing with your halachic issue. Omar Lei, so Rav Achot asks, the Omar Rav halacha k'Rav Elazar, umor hu deka Rami Bei Maya. Is it not so that Rav himself ruled like Rav Elazar? We have a little arrow, by the way, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, showing you where Rav Elazar had spoken up. And he, Rav Elazar, the Tana, had said that there is no problem of shichrus, of intoxication, unless one drank the wine without putting water in it, without diluting it. You, sir, added water. That's the Korumi Beimai. You added water to your wine, so that since Rav, who upon whom you are basing your teaching, your rejection of me right now, since you're basing yourself on Rav, will go all the way. You see that Rav, it has a having ruled like Rav Elazar, would actually be lenient in your case because you added water, you diluted your wine. Omar Lei, ha lo kashya. What you're raising is really no objection. Ha bi revius, ha bi yoser michtei revius. The adding of water is effective if the amount of wine in question was a revius. However, I drank more than a revius. So in drinking more than a revius, the adding of water isn't going to solve the problem. We continue with a Tanaic source that opens up with a pasuk. The pasuk is from Vayikra, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud. It's quoted on the side. We've written it on the side of your Gemara. You can see it says there, Ula havdil bein ha-kodesh u-bein ha-chol, u-bein ha-tomei u-bein ha-tahor. And Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Ulahoyrois es b'nei Yisrael es kol achukim asher diber Hashem alekehem asher diber Hashem alehem biyad Moshe. We should note that the previous pasuk tes, that is, mentioned the prohibition of drinking of wine and subsequent entrance to the Beis Hamikdash. It reads as follows: Yayin v'shechor al teisht ato vonecho itoch b'voachem el oihol moyed v'loy somusu chukas oilom l'doroseichem. So that the context in which this pasuk is found is in the context of having drunk wine. So the source says, Ulahavdil bein hakodesh ubein hachol, elu hadomim ve'erichin charomim ve'hekdeshos. This is a reference to different types of dedications that are made to the Beis Hamikdash, and the source is telling us that it's forbidden for someone who has drunk wine to evaluate these different items that may have been dedicated and need to be redeemed. So we're talking about the prohibition of evaluating them for in anticipation of redemption. And the fear is that because of the inebriation, one will not assess the value of these different dedications accurately. The pasuk says, "Bein hatomei uvein hatohor, elu tmeois v'taharois." This is a reference to rulings concerning ritual purity and impurity. Ulahoyrois, which is also found in the pasuk. This is pasuk Yud Aleph, Zu Hoyro. That has to do with rulings concerning that which is forbidden and permissible. Es kol hachukim, which is also in the pasuk Yud Aleph, elu midrashos. Rashi says shidorshin bepirka. This has to do with public teachings. Also shdiyayin sheshben hayra. This has to do with darshaning Torah teachings that have in them issues of legal rulings. Asher diber Hashem zu halacha. That's a reference to oral tradition, halacha l'moshe misinai, biyad Moshe, ze Talmud. That's a reference to the study of the Gemara, Talmud, which is an expansion, of course, an interpretation of the Mishnah, and also contains in it rulings. So that according to this approach, we are being told that someone who has become inebriated, who has drunk wine, shall not issue legal rulings in all kinds of areas. He shall not expound on psukim and the way we darshan psukim, which is like the oral law, the oral tradition on the understanding of psukim, that's midrashos, nor communicate halacha l'moshe misinai, nor even the study of Gemara. Yochol af ha-mishnah? Would Mishnah teaching also be prohibited for someone who is inebriated, who has drunk wine? Talmud loymar ulahoyrois. The Torah uses the word ulahoyrois, which has to do with legal rulings, and one does not rule from Mishnayos. Mishnayos is not a source of teaching practical law. It's the basis of the Gemara, but we don't paskin from Mishnayos. Rabbi Yossi Bermuda Omer Yochol Af Talmud. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama and says, is Talmud also included in the restriction? Talmud Loimar Ulahoy Rois. The only restriction is actual ruling of Halacha Lamaisa, but not the engagement in the source of the Halacha Lamaisa. So that, according to Rabbi Yossi Bermuda, someone who had drunk wine can teach Gemara, can teach Talmud. Keman azloha desanya. We have a Tanaic source, and we want to know, there's no name here, according to whom would this source be taught? We have, right now, we have the Rabbanon, and we have Rabbi Yossi Bermuda. So the source says, Yotza sheretz tome utzvardeya tohor. Yotza means to the exclusion. In dealing with the prohibition of teaching while having imbibed wine, we exclude from this restriction a ruling that would say that a sheretz, a dead type of creeping creature, communicates Torah, and a Tzvardea is Tohor. Just to review this last point, a dead Sheretz is capable of communicating Tumah. A dead Tzvardea, often translated as a frog, is something that is not capable of transmitting Tumah. It is something that's Tohor. And the source tells us, Sheshtuya Yayin Moirin Bohen Hoira, someone who has drunk wine can rule concerning this. And tell someone, listen, if you had contact with a dead Sheretz, so you're Tomei, or if you had contact with a dead frog, so you're Tohor. So who would say that a ruling like that can be issued by someone who had drunk wine? Neimar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Hiva Loi Rabbonon. Should we say that this would conform to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who we just saw was more lenient? He said that even someone who was drunk or who had drunk wine can teach Gemara. So maybe this source is in accordance with him and not the low Rabbonon and not in accordance with the Rabbonon. The Gemara answers, Afilu Temo Rabbonon. This source can be accepted even by the Rabbonon. The shiny hocha, the case of a ruling of this nature, of that a Sheretz is Tomei and a Tzvardei is Tohor, that even someone who has lost total sobriety is capable of ruling the zeal kri be rav hu, because it is something that is black on white as far as psukim. In other words, even a child who's learning in a Talmud Torah in an elementary educational environment would know this point. And therefore, even if someone is not of total clarity of mind because of his inebriated state, he will know to rule and not make a mistake on this topic. Omar Rav, Halacha K'Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. Rav rules leniently, like Rav Yosi Yehuda, that someone who has drunk wine, can teach Gemara. The Gemara asks, well, Vahar Rav, but Rav himself, Lo Yimoykim Amoyro Miyomotov Lechavrei Mishum Shichus. Rav would not lecture. The expression, we had this before, Moykim Amoyro, has to do with setting up someone who would publicize the rabbi's teachings to the public, the human PA system. Rav wouldn't address the public and teach the public after having had his Yom Tov meal, which includes the drinking of wine. So the Gemara says, Shiny Rav, the case of Rav personally is different. The Oiri Moiri, he was a formal legal decisor. He was someone that paskined, and therefore he, being that he was someone that was a posek, he could not give his lecture. The Gemara asks, Vinekum Dolo Lori, well, why wouldn't Rav just teach his Gemara Shir, his Talmud lecture, without issuing public rulings? The Gemara answers, Kol Hecha D'Yosef Rav, wherever Rav was seated, wherever he was present, Lo Sagi Le Beloi Hoira. It was impossible that there wouldn't be some form of legal ruling. Everyone was asking him questions, knowing full well that Rav was the leading legal decisor of his generation. It would be almost impossible for him to lecture and take questions from the public and not be involved with legal rulings. Therefore, Rav himself restrained himself from teaching publicly after his Yom Tov meal, and would resume his teaching the next day. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we have a topic heading. The Nosei says, Yesh oichel achilo achas. You could have a situation of someone doing one act of eating, v'chayav arba chatois v'osham echod. In one eating, it be in violation of several offenses that would result in his needing to bring four sin offerings and one osham sacrifice. The Mishnah, Yesh oichel achilo achas v'chayovin olei arba chatois v'osham echad. The osham here is an osham me'ilo. That is the sacrifice brought when one unlawfully received personal benefit from something that was dedicated to the Beis Hamikdash. What are the violations? So tomei, a person who was in a state of ritual impurity, she'ochal Chelev, that ate Chelev, we've mentioned this before, it's a forbidden substance or section found in animals. Vehu noisar min hamukdashim, and it was chilev that was supposed to be offered on the mizbeach, but it was left over. It wasn't offered, and it's hence becomes called, something called nosar for something that's sacrificial. Biyom hakipurim, and he ate it on Yom Kippur. If we just glance at Rashi, dalit chatois chad mishum dochal kodesh betuma. One is because he ate something sanctified of a sacrificial nature while himself he was tomei, so that a tomei is not allowed to eat the sacrifices. The chad mishum chelev, another chatos because he ate chelev. The chad mishum nosar, a third chatos because he consumed nosar, that which was left beyond its time. The chad mishum yom kippurim, and another chatos for having eaten on Yom Kippur. And the osham is for having benefited from having had pleasure from something that was sanctified. Rabbi Meir Omer, im hoya Shabbos v'otziyo b'fiv, if this happened to be a Yom Kippur that came out on Shabbos, and he carried out the food while eating it into a public thoroughfare, in other words, he went from his house into the public area, that's also chayav. That's called chiv hotzah, of transferring something from an item from one location to another on Shabbos. Omru lo, the Rabbanan responded to Rabbi Meir why they did not include this Shabbos example, because eino min hashem. It's not a violation that's eating based. It's the Shabbos case here was transferring position of something, location of something. That's something that's not necessarily related to eating. And we wanted to communicate the possibility of multiple offenses for the act of eating. And hence we didn't include what you are adding. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.